I'm Wanda Bean. Thank you for listening to Very Best of One Blunt Woman. This is episode 16, where I try not to get killed on a ride-along. Yes, I went on a ride-along with the Dallas police. Such fun. Enjoy. First segment is always just me and my mouth. And this weekend I wanted to, and that's pretty much a free-for-all. This weekend I went to Denver and played in a hockey tournament, and I learned a big lesson in physics. You know that lesson about two pieces of matter cannot occupy the same space at the same time?
Yeah.
I learned that the hard way.
Did you cross-check somebody? Somebody cross-check you?
Well, that happened too, but I went flying for a puck and missed and couldn't stop because I was going full speed, and the board stopped me head on. Yeah, my friends didn't think I was going to get up, and it hurt really bad. So
you didn't get like knocked out, did you?
You know, matter, when they run into each other, they displace.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, I thought I could become one with the board, but no, that didn't happen.
Shatter the glass?
I did not shatter the glass, but I certainly shattered my neck and my head.
Yeah.
So that wasn't as bad, because the next day a girl, I don't know, let's just say 6'2", 350. I'll show you a picture to give you guys a visual. I know people can't see it on the podcast. Mm. She decided to knock me out.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes. Ouch.
You've had a rough go of it on the ice lately.
So my head really did start to swell.
Yeah.
And I could feel the helmet. And she literally, it was after the whistle was blown. Of course, she got a penalty. I mean, she literally clocked me in the face.
Really?
Knocked me flat on my ass, hit my head on the ice. So my friends on the bench are like, oh, please, Wanda, she gave you a love tap. It's just that she's three times your size. It knocked you flat on your ass. I said, yeah, that's probably true. It hurt. So, you know, there's that story of David and Goliath. Lost that one.
They can't all be winners.
I mean, there are some big women that play hockey.
Yeah, I believe
and
it.
And you those all
people,
know.
Those people don't mess around.
I'm 5'2", 120, maybe. Yeah.
Between your hockey activities and your police ride-along, it's like you're lucky to be alive right now.
Yes, I know. I went on a police ride-along, which I want to talk about. I have utmost respect for my female police officer friends that I have now become friends with, and I have learned a lot. Mm. We all need to be very grateful for the cush life that we live. But I'm going to talk about that in my third segment. But now I'm going to talk about something that really pisses me off. I don't know if my head's on straight after this weekend. Oh, and we lost, by the way. We didn't even make it to the finals.
Maybe not to screw loose.
Well, I know, it did. So I get back, and I get invited to this Park City's Cheddar on Facebook, and someone, and I'm like, why am I going to do this? It's just people yakking their mouth.
Yeah.
And which I'm fine with yakking in my mouth, but then someone brings up something that pisses me off, so of course I have to yak.
Right. Of course.
Apparently, they allow youth ministers to come into our schools during the day at lunch and talk to the kids.
Really?
I can't take my kid lunch, because that's breaking the rule.
But isn't that like a separation of church and state thing?
See, that's what I think. So
that seems pretty cut and dry.
I mean, can you imagine a Muslim walking in with all their gear? Don't you think parents would be like, what the hell?
Oh, that should be a problem. Yeah,
but it's okay because it's Highland Park Methodist, which is where, my kids go to church.
Right.
And that's where I got married. That's where, and I'm a supporter of the church. Not so much anymore, but I was for many years. They were all baptized there. And they come and talk to the kids. And I'm like, are you kidding me? This violates so many rules.
Right.
And they allow it to happen. I mean, what? I mean, Highland Park is not a private school. It is a publicly funded school.
Yeah.
But somehow I think we think we're private, and so it's okay. They let them go through. I don't even know what to say. I'm so shocked at this.
Can parents just like stroll in with their kids' lunch and like give it
to
them? Or?
No.
I heard next week they're going to have rabbis come in and they're going to be handing out yarmulkes.
Okay, I'm fine with that. I mean, if you want the youth ministers to come, and of course I piss everyone off saying, what if they're a pedophile?
And then for July it's Buddhist monks and they have the little, you know, the Buddha statues.
It's fine. How about the atheists? Can they come in and preach what they have to say too?
You're just come in and hang out.
Yeah, it should be any and all, you know? It's all or nothing.
Okay,
sure.
My point is you should not let random adults come in to a kid when they're 12 and 13 year olds. They just want to talk about whatever Snapchat they just saw, whatever's on Instagram. They don't want to be preached to.
I can't imagine a time in my life where I was less interested in religion than that
junior
age.
High.
Yeah.
Right.
So they allow it at our school. And I'm so against it. I hope to God they get rid of it.
Those kids have to think that youth minister is such a dweeb.
Such a douche. Yeah.
Nobody thinks he's cool.
No,
no
there's
way.
Nothing
yeah.
exciting going on there.
No.
So I threw a comment about girls giving blowjobs in the middle school. Can I show up at the school and talk about, can I go up to every kid and go, have you been abused? I mean, is that okay?
That's a good question.
I mean, but no. And I'm not going to do that. Yeah. But that's what these youth ministers are doing. They're coming in and they're, you know, they're pre... I don't know.
Yeah, what's the score there?
What you're talking about to me seems more beneficial from an education standpoint than the youth ministry.
I mean, definitely. If I could just walk up to every girl in eighth grade and say, please don't give a blowjob. That pissed off parents on my when I wrote that in my blog.
Yeah, I can imagine that not going over too well.
It didn't. But it's okay to talk about, you know, the youth ministries. And my kids go to the youth ministry. So it's not like I'm against it because I'm for it. I'm just not for it during school.
Yeah.
During lunch.
I'm pretty sure the federal government isn't for that either. I don't think that's allowed.
Well, I think, of course, like I'm sure we have found a loophole in the law. I don't know.
Well, I think it's actually regulated on a state level. I don't know. But still, I could have sworn that was like that's a cut and dry, black and white example of what you're not allowed to do.
And why is it only Protestants?
I don't know.
Whatever.
I don't get it.
Asking the tough questions.
I am, because that's what I do. I ask the tough questions. So I always have to bring in child abuse because that's really my full-on mission. Mm. And I'm reading this book, Daring Greatly, which I talked about last week. You know, courage, choosing courage over comfort every day. And those police officers that I went on that ride with the other day, I mean, they are clearly choosing courage every day. To choose courage is to choose vulnerability. So one of the things I read in the book, which really hit home with me, was she had talked about shame. And your mother ever say to you, shame on you?
Mm, yeah.
Yep.
So that's, you know, that was a big thing to say back then, and it's not really said anymore, but I mean, I sometimes will say it to my kids if they're assholes to other kids.
that always hit pretty hard when parents would say it, especially my mom. The one that always would really get me though is, you should be ashamed.
Always
made me feel really bad.
Yeah.
I'm like, what got me was, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed.
Yeah, that's a big one too.
A crusher for me.
Well, and in the book it says shame is very painful for children because it is linked to the fear of being unlovable.
Right.
So for you, like you said, Kevin, that always hit home for you.
Yeah.
So, and it hits home for me because when I was abused and when I told my mother, she didn't believe me. And then she said, shame on you, you're ruining our family.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
That's one you can't shake.
Mm. That's not when my kid's an asshole to someone else. I go, shame on you. What the fuck is your problem? What are you doing?
Yeah.
Chill out.
It's not the same as when my mother said to me,
no,
shame on you for ruining our family because you're opening your mouth.
Yours is appropriate.
Anyway,
that one is just kind of fucked up.
Mm. I very much appreciate Brené Brown writing this book because I did want to pull that out because so many children are abused and then they're called out and then they're shamed. God, it drives me crazy. What is wrong with people? And then when I saw this Down syndrome child coming out of this apartment on this police ride along the other day, I just felt so sorry for that kid, the abuse that must go on in that apartment complex. I'm going to get into all of that because it really is, it really did open my eyes when I went on this police ride, and I'm pretty sure I will never be the same. I'm Wanda Means, and you're listening to the very best of One Blunt Woman. So then I show up. We're at a really cool rooftop bar on Lower Greenville, and the wind is blowing. It's a great night, and I show up, and he doesn't look like his pictures.
Oh, God.
Oh, I was like, no.
The misrepresentation is always the worst.
And he wasn't unattractive. He just wasn't.
Wasn't what the picture was.
The picture, I was like, oh, my God, he's really cute. I think it's all about the angle.
Yeah.
I mean, I represent...
Did he have a good variety of pictures, like in his repertoire?
He had three pictures.
Three?
Yeah, okay. And he was funny, and he was interesting. I just... How do we...
You lose a little respect as soon as you realize they kind of misrepresented themselves.
I do. So. And so after the date, he went to kiss me, and I so didn't want to kiss him, but I just did it to be nice because he did buy me dinner. Right?
Yeah.
I didn't, that's a horrible thing to say.
I like the... Yeah, that's a nice quality, though.
So
throw
he kisses
him a, throw
me.
Him a consolation prize.
That's funny. He takes his tongue and he shoves it down my throat. And I'm like, I wanted to run so fast. And then he goes, well, can I come in? I'm like, fuck no. You don't even know how to kiss.
He gave you the high school tongue.
Yeah. Is that what that's called?
That's what I call it.
Yeah.
That's when people don't know how to make out. And they just are like, they didn't think that's all it is. It's just all tongue and mouth. And
I mean, as I went through the date for the 2 hours, I started to, you know, be more attracted to him. I mean, not totally. I was like, I really
you didn't want to bang him.
No, but he wanted to come in and bang me. And I'm like, no. And I'm just like, and you can always tell from the way a guy kisses if he's going to be any good in bed.
Yep.
It's like when you go to a Mexican restaurant. If the salsa sucks, it's not going to be really good Mexican food.
That's a good analogy.
I know. I'm like, yeah, their salsa blows. I'm not going to like the rest of the food. So it's if he kisses you and it sucks or down your throat, I'm like, whoa, damn, put the tongue back. Yep. Like, how do guys at 45 years old not know how to kiss?
That's a good question.
Did you not get a lesson?
I think that's one of those things that if you never got good at it and didn't kind of pick it up at a younger age, you're never going to be that great.
I mean, there was
that's
never...
like water skiing.
There was never a... True. There,
you know what I mean? Like, if you're not, if you don't pick it up pretty quick, you're never going to be good. Like, it's just,
oh, okay.
You're doomed forever.
I see what you're saying. So, you
practice makes perfect? Hold on. Say that again, Zach. I had your mic muted.
You don't think practice makes perfect?
Okay, so it must not get
well,
a lot
yeah,
of practice.
It does, but you still have to have that kind of base. It's, I'll give you a good example, okay?
Right.
I sucked at baseball when I was a kid. I practiced it a lot, and I played a lot, and I did it for years.
Okay, that's a
but
good
I never
point.
Really got good. It, if you don't have, like, a natural right. ability from the beginning, you're never going to be that
an
good.
An innate ability.
Yeah.
That's like me playing hockey. No matter how much I play, I'm never going to be as good as my 9-year-old because he started skating at 3 years old. If you
right.
don't start
he's
something...
He's going to jump on you.
Not that you should start making out at 9 years old. I'm just saying. I mean, at 3 years old. But come, I mean, so I want to tell my boys.
Yeah.
Listen, guys, if you want a girl, you better learn how to kiss. I mean, yep. It's not like I'm going to show them because that would just be weird. But how do you make sure your boys know what, I mean, it's like it's a little uncomfortable, but I want to make sure that they know what they're doing. This is awkward.
Right.
I don't know how to.
In that situation, it's almost like take notes from a chick flick rather than a porn.
Definitely.
Okay, I like that. I mean, I'm not into porn. I've seen porn.
But
porn
all guys are into porn.
All guys. Because guys are visual.
In a lot of ways, porn creates this artificial template of sexuality for men that is just completely absurd. It's like, do not take anything away from porn as being reality.
Right. None of that is legit.
None of that is real.
Yeah. So you're saying penises really aren't that big?
I mean, I'm sure some are.
Who was that guy that was the big guy from the 70s that had the raw...
Ron Jeremy?
John Holmes?
Yeah. No, or,
Ron
yeah.
Jeremy. John Holmes?
Yeah.
No, that was... That reminds me of the cuckoldry that I talked about on our last show with that big black dude.
Yeah.
My friend Tabby thought it was a donkey. It's not a donkey. It was just a black dude. Whatever. He was huge. Huge. And okay, so I don't like tongue down my throat. So guys that are listening, please don't shove your tongue down their throat. Girls don't like that. Women don't like that. Mm. And anyways, okay, so that is my... Oh, and then he texts me at the end of the day and he says, you're a lot cooler than I thought you would be.
Ooh.
What does that mean?
Ouch.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I'm pretty cool, but...
Yeah.
It's one of those backwards compliments yep. that the guy didn't realize at the same time he's kind of insulting you.
Backhanded
while...
compliment.
Yeah,
backhanded,
it's totally yeah. insulting me because I'm pretty yep. cool, but I'm like, okay, maybe I'm not that cool, but
he's
whatever.
Like, I thought you were going to suck, but you know, you're actually nice to hang out with.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not really
very
flattering.
I totally
wasn't
into it before I met you.
Yeah.
Well, and then so me, for me, it's the opposite.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
second I met you, I am not into it. So how do you respond by saying that? He doesn't live in Dallas, thank God. I'll never have to see him again.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, can I see you again? I'm like, no.
Yeah. Well, how'd you end up meeting him anyway?
He was on Tinder.
Oh, Tinder, but he didn't live in Dallas. I gotcha.
So when I was going out for my girlfriend's 40th, so I had a couple of hours to kill.
Right.
Yeah.
So her 40th came an hour sooner than I had to be there.
Have you ever checked out Tinder in a different like state or town?
I have, but I've never gone. Okay, so when I was in Florida with my kids and my ex-husband, I Tindered this guy, and he was totally hot. So he goes, well, I'll be at the bar in the Atlantis. And so my girlfriend and I went looking for him, and we saw him from afar, and we ran away.
Yeah, and it was no good, huh?
It's like, I've done that. If you've done that, just run away.
I didn't know this was a big thing in Tinder culture, that dudes put up pictures to make themselves look way better, and they're not. I don't thought that, honestly.
I'm telling you,
I thought women did that more than men.
I should have realized it was the angle of the picture. And the guy I dated for a couple years, you know, I told him, you are much better looking in person. And that's what you'd rather have, is someone is seriously is much better looking in person.
Yeah.
So, you know, then they're not lying. You're hot. Your pictures were cute, but well, in person.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. That is better.
I'd rather be pleasantly surprised
yeah.
than turned off immediately going, fuck, how much longer do I have to sit here and banter bullshit? Thank God a hockey game was on because we were watching hockey.
The only Tinder trick you would use, and it's not misrepresentation, but it is kind of a trick. It's kind of a cheat, as I would post a lot of pictures of me like doing radio stuff.
That's right. Totally cool. It's what you do. I'm impressed by that.
That was just a way you get more attention that way.
Well, and luckily for you, the camera adds more weight because you are skinny.
I'm not that skinny.
You're skinny.
All right.
You know, I read that they did some kind of a study, top 10 professions that get people laid the most on
what?
Tinder.
Yeah.
Radio DJ was like 3.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I figured like
well, y'all both
lead
have
guitarist
great voices.
Of a band or something.
Thanks.
Y'all should have a show of what you do.
Oh, right.
We do.
Okay, so moving on. The next thing I was doing some reading this morning, and I saw this thing called sextortion. I've never heard of that.
Huh.
I I mean, I'm not searching porn sites. My God, I was on CNN just looking for what was going on in the world. Have you guys heard of sextortion?
No.
Is that like sexploitation?
Somewhat. They use your personal information and they blackmail you. So, like,
into what?
Okay, so, like, you know how you have your little camera right here
yeah.
on your computer?
Yeah.
And so, if you're talking to someone on a video, like Skyping or whatever, there's a green light or whatever.
Yep.
So, you know. So, what they do is they email you a Trojan. I don't know why they call it a Trojan. I'm not very technical. And they email you a Trojan, it gets into your computer, and then they could see you without that light going on.
Right.
Have you heard of this stuff?
Yeah.
And so they'll come on and they'll literally hack your computer and talk to you and tell you, I can see you. I know what you're doing. I'm going to blackmail you. I'm going to extort everything out of here. They call it web extortion, webcam hacking.
Right.
So they go in and they sell this stuff. They make you put on more videos or pictures that they turn around and it's available for sale or trade on these websites.
I wouldn't care. Like, you know what? Fine. You want a video of me in my bathroom jerking off? Go nuts. Like, what are you gonna do with that?
Okay.
Go,
I don't care. I don't want that.
I won't care either. Yeah, but it's
but you
not
would
for
care.
Us.
You would care. Yeah, I mean, right. Women would care much more than men.
Well, I'm sure it's the men. I'm sure they're extorting women.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a type of rape in a weird way.
It kind
of
yeah, definitely
in a really twisted.
I can't. Who thinks of this shit? I don't understand it.
You never saw somebody put like a piece of tape over their webcam?
Oh, is that
I've definitely
I've done
seen
it
that.
Before. Yeah. Yeah.
And what
because
does that
it
do?
Freaks me, it just
it blocks
if
the camera.
Seeing
yeah.
it, they can't see you.
Oh, God, I'm gonna do that.
Yeah, you
I
just
mean,
put a piece of tape over
God,
or something.
Anyway, I don't understand what's wrong with the world. But okay. I'm Wanda Means, and thank you for listening to this special presentation of One Blunt Woman. So Tuesday, I went on an adventure. It was an enormous adventure for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just a mom raising four kids, right?
Mm. Yeah.
I live in a very bubbly, entitled world. But I went on a plane and went to a third world country. Okay, not really. I didn't go on a plane. I went three exits.
Probably felt like it.
I went three exits north of my exit off of 75. Isn't that scary?
Yes. Close
I
to
mean,
home.
There is a third world country right here. 4 minutes to get there from my house.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it. Okay, so I went on a police ride along. I went with my hockey buddy, Jenna. She's a police officer, but I had to go through a ton of paperwork. They make you sign all this stuff. They do a background check. The chief of police has to sign off on it. So it's not something you could just call up a friend and go, oh, can I sit in the back of your police
car?
Right. No. So she picked me up. We go to the headquarters and or the central station. There's police cars everywhere. I met some policemen. The building is as government. Esque looking bland vanilla
yeah,
as you can imagine. Very
right.
boring. So we go in the locker room and I look at all the lockers and I'm in the women's locker room
right.
and there's pictures all over the locker of all their kids. So I'm thinking they go there every day, they come in their street clothes, they put their police uniform on, picture after I mean it made it very personal for
yeah.
me. So I'm sitting here, as bland as that building was, these women, I mean they're moms.
Right.
So they go to work every day, and they come home. I mean, they're just like me. They're raising children. So it took me a minute to take this in because I don't do this for a living. I'm a mom. I raise four kids, but I don't go. So we go. We get in the police car. We go up to this Five Points area, whatever they call it. It's the fucking hood, as far as I'm concerned.
So,
The Five Points.
I drive through there all the time when I take my kids to Top Golf.
Right.
I mean, I'm it's rare for me to be at a loss of words, but I am. So we pull in and there's a bunch of shady dudes sitting there, of course, doing nothing. And we walk through the complex. It's almost 100 degrees. They make me wear this dark police jacket. I'm sweating my ass off.
Did you have to wear a bulletproof vest?
No.
I was going to ask the exact
They
same
did
thing.
Not ask me to. But one of their commanders at the place said, Wanda, do you want a vest? And I thought
right.
he was kidding, but maybe he was serious.
Right.
So they're not, I guess, they're kind of first responders, but not technically. They're a special unit where they go and they literally know all these known criminals. And they arrest him and take him to jail. And Jenna, my friend, says the hardest part about her job is she'll go arrest someone for drugs. And 2 weeks later, she's back at the same place.
Yeah.
Same guy's there.
Mm.
You talk about a vicious cycle. So I'm scared shitless. I am sweating. My heart is beating. And Jenna's partner, T, goes, she points her finger and snaps and points her finger and says, don't move. I want you right there where I can see you. I mean, the last person said that to me was my mother when
yeah.
I was 5 years old. And I'm like, okay. I'm not going anywhere.
I'm going to do anything you say.
I'm going to do it because she didn't want me out of their sight because if something happened, you never know if someone's going to pull a gun. So I'm sitting there sweating to death and Jenna goes up and they can't, there's no warrant at this point for them to search their body. So she's patting them down, touching them, and she feels this big wad of cash. So I'm thinking, did he cash his pension in? I don't know. So these guys, they just sit there all day and wait for someone to show up and bring a delivery, and then they turn around and sell it to all these people in this complex, which was nasty. There was this nasty mattress just standing by the door.
Yeah, that was gross. By the door that was beaten to
in,
shit.
Yes, and there was rotted wood in the walkways, and there was this poor little down baby Hispanic child that was crying in and out of the apartment with the music blaring loud. It wasn't any music. It wasn't Cheap Trick Surrender. It wasn't any good song. Yeah. So I'm like,
classic.
I'm standing there and I'm going, and so then four police cars pull up and I'm like, oh my God, they're going to arrest someone. Well,
it's like a raid.
Well, it was time for lunch, so we left. So we went to lunch. I'm with 10 police officers, and here's me drinking a Bloody Mary. They're all drinking tea, and I'm like, I need a drink.
Right.
This has been a very stressful morning for me. Mm. And they, of course, they can't
You're
drink.
Not on the clock.
I know, I'm not on the clock.
You're not on duty.
I'm just sitting here observing all this. So then we leave, and they say, we got to arrest some 400-pound dude who there's warrants out for him. So we go there, and or we're on the way there, and I'm sitting in the back. My seatbelt's not on. I'm not paying attention, and the cop card's kind of dirty and gross, and I think there's some sort of bodily fluid on the ceiling.
Yeah, what was the coloration of that?
It was a brownish. Remember that whole truffle butter I talked about?
Mm-hmm.
Something along those lines.
Gotcha.
Just streaked across the
something
ceiling.
Grotesque,
like a melted Snickers.
Yes, I wasn't gonna. I don't think anyone melted their Snickers. So I'm looking at it, and I'm just like, oh, I can't touch anything in this car. So Jenna goes, put your seatbelt on, Juana. I go, why? We're just going across the highway, and then her sirens are on. I go, ooh. Wow, this is fun.
That's exciting.
So we get on 635. We're in East Dallas. We go to a Motel 6. I don't think anything good ever happens at a Motel 6.
Probably not.
So we get there, and there's this man laying there who had been stabbed multiple times, blood gushing out, screaming, am I going to die? Am I going to die? And I was like, oh, God. I mean, and then this this scantily clad young woman was wearing barely anything. She is telling him that this Hispanic dude stabbed him. The black guy's going that he stabbed him. They apparently were doing it in a room, and it's the ex-boyfriend.
Wow.
I mean, drama, drama, drama.
A lot of moving parts here.
And so the poor black guy is like, I just need to get to work. I have to pay for my room. I mean, can you imagine living day to day? Like,
no
clue. And the poor kid, he couldn't speak. He couldn't form a proper sentence. And I am looking at all this. They haul the guy off. He went into surgery. I don't even know if he made it or not. And all these lives are ruined. And they're all crackheads, or they're on meth, or they're on heroin. I don't know what they're on, but God, what a life.
I know.
And it just made me think, I am so grateful. I got home, sat on my couch, and I couldn't move. I was exhausted. And Jenna has to get up the next morning and do it all over again.
Same day
every day.
Can you imagine? Okay, so what I'm telling to all you people that are listening, all 22 of you, whatever you do, you see a policeman, buy him lunch, or a policewoman, they work their ass off. I can't imagine. They shield us from the shit out there, and I, for one, am very grateful.